At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Be yourself, capital of the world. This is the next generation of KGO, KGO 810.
And this is John Rothman in for Drex. Breaking news. I will be here for another hour. I have been asked if I would stay until 11 o'clock. So those of you hanging on, we'll try to get all of your calls in. 8080810 is the number. And of course, it's really true. There is no place I would rather be than right here with you on KGO. Breaking news, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine appears to be emerging as the leading contender to join the ticket with Hillary Clinton. I want to remind you that the governor of the state of Virginia is a Democrat who is very close, Terry McAuliffe, who is very close to the Clintons. It means that if Hillary was elected president and Tim Kaine were the running mate, his replacement in the Senate, appointed by the governor, would be a Democrat. It solves a lot of problems. Virginia is also a battleground state. We are told the announcement could come as early as tomorrow afternoon. Hillary Clinton scheduled to be in Florida, another battleground state. Tim Kaine, of course, is from Virginia, well-known in Florida. He is 58 years old, has been a favorite for the vice presidential slot since the start of this. So we will see. This is breaking news. Nothing certain, but I want you to understand the logic that Hillary Clinton is using, and that is that if she takes Tim Kaine, she will obviate the problem of taking a senator like Sherrod Brown from Ohio, where the Republican is the governor. So it means that when the vice president's elected, resigns from the Senate, the Democrats keep that seat, which they may need for Senate control. 8080810. I love it when there's breaking news. And of course, Hillary Clinton tomorrow, if she makes the announcement, will take away the spotlight from the Republicans. Let's get right back to your calls. Many of you on the line. Again, I'll be here till 11 o'clock, so we have a lot to cover. Jeff, calling from Santa Clara. Jeff, welcome to KGO.
Hi, John. And may I say, I can't think of any place I'd rather be than spending it tonight with you back here on KGO.
Thank you very much.
To go to your first question, I'm an independent. I've been undecided to this point. And as far as the speech went this evening, I think it was a very, very good speech. I heard passion in it. I haven't heard a speech like that from a political organization or through a political organization that I can remember back, except maybe possibly Reagan.
I agree. He captured something very important tonight.
And that brings up a difference for me why I have a reservation about Trump. While in Reagan's speech, it was positive and it was hopeful, in Trump's speech tonight, I still heard vitriol. I heard negativity. I didn't hear really where he wants to make us great again. We are great. We are great right now, but we can be greater. And the thing that worries me about Trump, and the thing that scares me about Trump, is that he has been a very successful businessman. But as you've stated, and everybody knows, running government is not like running a business. And I don't know how well he will respond to not getting his way. Because if he doesn't get his way, it won't be like the reality TV show, where you can simply say, you're fired.
No, not only that, look at how he says things. And last night was a great example. We reported here on KGO on the New York Times interview with Donald Trump, in which he dissed NATO, in which he essentially upset our allies in Europe and in Eastern Europe, Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania. And the Trump people have been trying to cover for what Donald Trump said. And one of the things that'll be very interesting to watch, and you're right, it was a darker version of America, but there is no question that in the next 4 months, as Donald Trump speaks to the American people and addresses these issues, what he says, whether or not he puts his foot in it, if you will be critical in whether or not people can trust him. And if you read today the comments by foreign leaders about Donald Trump's comments about NATO, it sent shivers up and down the spine of Europeans who really count on the United States for their defense and who, frankly, are very worried about Vladimir Putin.
Yes, absolutely. And to go forward, I think you're exactly right. I feel stuck between a choice between someone I fear, as in Trump, and then someone I totally do not trust and I dislike immensely, the Clinton side of the proposition. But I still say that I hear everybody else saying, well, we have no other choice. We do. It's a third-party candidate. Take a look at Gary Johnson. His message is at least hopeful. I would choose to put my vote. It's not a wasted vote. I choose to vote for hope rather than fear or distrust.
Okay, let me explain to you. I have no problem with a third-party vote. I understand it. I voted for John Anderson in 1980, so I have voted for a third-party candidate in the past. But I am fully cognizant of the fact that this election is critical, and that if you take a piece of paper and you draw a line down the middle and you make a list of the 10 issues you care most about and forget personality, you have Hillary and you have Trump. Who do you agree with more? You understand something that I understand having worked for Richard Nixon, and that is who is president of the United States matters tremendously. And the impact affects courts. It affects foreign policy. It affects policy. And that's the thing that gives me pause always when somebody says, oh, I'm going to vote for a third party. Does that make sense?
It does. And there's, on at least the third party side, I can stand behind both Johnson and Weld. Trump's choice for his vice president, Pence, concerns me greatly. And what I heard Trump acknowledge tonight was his almost a giveaway to the religious right to say that, yeah, when I get in office, first thing that's going to go is that tax exemption you have if you choose to become politically involved. I like that law. I think that's exactly where it should be. Mm-hmm. And I'm concerned that if Trump doesn't get his way and he can't run it like a business, should he just step down, we would be stuck with Pence. And that concerns me greatly.
I don't think he'd step down, but I have to tell you, if you take a look at Pence's record, when I was on with Pat Thurston the other night, I went through Pence's record. He was an original Tea Partier. He is someone who denies the theory of evolution. There are many, many elements about Pence which are disturbing, but it'll be interesting to watch. Listen, I appreciate your call. Very thoughtful call, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
800-810 is the number right here on KGO. Again, I will be here until 11 o'clock, which gives you plenty of time to pick up the phone and call 800-810. This is an important discussion. Let's go to Larry, who's calling from Concord. Larry, welcome to KGO.
Thank you, John. It's been a long time since I've talked to you. I think last time I talked to you was when you were in YAD, to give you a perspective.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm delighted to hear you. Glad to have you back.
That's great. I was a huge Rubio supporter, and I was leaning in the Never Trump camp. And I got to tell you, this speech really spoke to me and shocked me. For the last 8 years, living with this recession that we've been in, with the economic downturn and the pressures I think a lot of Americans have had to live with just trying to make a living, hearing somebody that is on your side, that is speaking, you know, to your family pocketbook and your family future, is a revelation. I haven't heard that in a long time.
But you would be inclined, Larry, to vote Republican, am I right?
I voted for Anderson in 1980. I had, like you did, I was a Ross Perot supporter. I did not vote in the last election. I didn't vote in the primary. I think you're right that if I were to say that I've had a leaning, it would be the Republican camp.
So let me ask you this question. I mean, you're obviously thoughtful. I want to know, are there things about Trump or Hillary, either one, that disturb you, that would push you one way or the other?
They're both incredibly flawed. I mean, they're not your top choice. It's amazing that in a country like ours with 400 million people, that these are the top two that bubble up. It says a lot about, you know, our country that this is the best that we can do. And it says a lot about the machines that are behind politicians, the money that's involved, special interests.
Let me tell you, that was the result of my poll at Disney World. And I spoke with at least 200 people, because I'd sit down anywhere and I'd ask them, what do you think and where are you from? And that was the feeling, that both candidates were flawed. So push come to shove, Larry, the election is today. Would you vote for Clinton or Trump?
Trump.
Okay. Larry, I appreciate the call. Good to hear your voice, Larry. Thanks so much. 800-810. By the way, I'm flooded by emails from many of you. And may I say, I'm as happy to be here as you are happy to have me here. And again, I want to remind you, I'll be here till 11 o'clock. And so we will have another hour and 15 minutes to really pursue this. 800-810. I know the lines are jammed, but keep calling. Every time somebody leaves us, a line opens. Let's go to George calling from Santa Rosa. George, welcome to KGO.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You know, I'm an independent, and tonight's speech just it made me make a decision, and that's not to vote for Trump.
Tell me why.
Well, the guy is he's
excuse
scary.
Me. Don't go away. But I want to give you the latest results here. CNN instant poll. Very positive response, 57%, somewhat positive, 18%, negative effect, 24%. Just want you to know that is the result of the CNN poll. In what direction will the policies proposed by Trump move the country? 73% said the right direction, 24% said the wrong direction. So it's just an indication, very preliminary, because these polls are early and don't mean a lot. But go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, that's okay. You know, I tend to agree with you. I think that he delivered the speech impeccably. He is getting very, very good at reading the teleprompter. And I think he is really developing really well as a politician. But basically what he talked about was just more red meat and just really reiterating whatever, you know, what we've been hearing the first 3 or 4 days of the convention. And, you know, what was his solution? His solution was really, you know, himself. It's like, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to do this. On January 20th, we are going to, you know, law and order will be restored.
And of course, you know, that is really not a real possibility in terms of the way he interprets law and order. Let me ask you a question. I'm curious because I'm looking at these poll results. Do you think that all Americans watched this? Do you think mostly Republicans watched? Do you think there were Democrats who watched? Do you think that when a political party had, look, I'm curious, will Republicans watch Hillary's convention? Will Democrats watch Trump's convention? What do you think of that?
Well, I think Americans should watch the conventions, both of them. And I think they should come to their own conclusions. But I think, you know, that this convention is a, you know, it's a cheerleading session for the Republican Party, and the Democratic convention will be a cheerleading session for the Democratic
That's
Party.
Right. That's right. And that's very important to understand. But your inclination now would be to vote for Clinton rather than Trump, right?
Well, my inclination would be to listen to what Hillary Clinton has to say. But Donald Trump scares me because I don't think he really has a grasp of really what it entails to be the president of the United States. I don't think he has any policy positions.
Yeah, well, we're going to see how that flushes out. He does have policy positions. And one of the things we will do behind this microphone between now and the election when I'm here is try to juxtapose the difference between Democrats and Republicans. I appreciate your call. Thanks very much. And have a good evening. 800-810 is the number right here on KGO. Teresa calling from Sonoma. Welcome to KGO.
Hi, John. It's very good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
I am calling because I was not fooled at all. But I think this is a really, for Hillary and the Democratic Party, I think this is a wake-up call. They really got to get down to reality regarding especially the immigration issue, that this is not an issue about race, that this is an issue about something that's upsetting the entire workforce, and they just need to deal with it. No excuses. It's a wake-up call. I also think very much Hillary needs to bury the come to terms and rest this whole email thing. And I think Obama gave her a hand to clear the door and put it to bed.
So did Bernie Sanders, by the way. It's very important to point out. Do you think in this election that this will be a choice between do negatives? Do you think that people will feel positive about the candidates? How do you assess that?
I think Hillary has a chance to bring positiveness. I'm going to vote for the Supreme Court come anything. That's what I'm doing. So I'm old school Democrat. But I think
let me just point, when you say you're voting for the Supreme Court, let's remind everybody, when people tell me they're not sure how they're voting, I tell them they're voting for the Supreme Court. Many of you know that Bill Rehnquist was an old friend of mine. I had him here on KGO when he was Chief Justice. He came in to talk about his book on impeachment. And one of the things I've always remembered, I used to say to Bill, how many presidents have you served under, okay? And we laugh because he would say to me, I never served under a president. I served with a president. And I use your fingers, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody use your fingers. Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and Bush. Seven presidents between 1971 and his death in 2005. So the next president of the United States, as the Republicans have been pointing out, and the Democrats 100% will point out next week, there may be three, four, even five vacancies on the court given the age. So, in fact, we're not just voting for a president. And Donald Trump in the body of his speech tonight was very clear. He said, we are voting not just for a president, we are voting for a Supreme Court. And he particularly applauded, you will recall, Antonin Scalia, and pledged that if he is elected president, the justice who will be nominated by him will reflect Justice Scalia. He said this, we are also going to appoint justices to the United States Supreme Court who uphold our laws and our Constitution. The replacement for Justice Scalia will be a person of similar views and principles. So it is a clear choice, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And he was very clear about rolling back regulations, and there goes global warming. I mean, we got big problems going on.
He talked about regulations dealing with the environment, and he has at various times said, and he is a great advocate for the coal industry. And he,
yes,
of course, Mike Pence, the vice presidential nominee, does not believe that global warming exists.
I know.
So, I mean, you know, you understand, the reason why I'm saying this, it's not to be critical. I can tell you that Hillary Clinton believes global warming exists, and I can tell you that if Tom Kaine is her running mate, he believes that it exists. But the question becomes what you believe, Tim Kaine, rather, what you believe.
Oh, I would love it if she had Elizabeth Warren stumping for her.
Elizabeth Warren will be out there stumping, but I don't think she'll be the vice presidential nominee. Thank you, Teresa. I got to move on. I've got so many callers. 800-800-810. Tim Kaine is now the favorite, and it is being suggested that Hillary may announce that nomination as early as tomorrow when she is in Florida. That would be tomorrow afternoon, which will give us a lot to talk about here on KGO, right? Absolutely. Let's go to Ann calling from Hayward. Ann, welcome to KGO.
Hi, John. What a night. I to tell you the truth, though, is overwhelmingly depressed. I was a little worried that he would mess up. My God, everything was there, John. Delivery style, significantly, the substance.
I agree. Home run.
It
was a home run in terms of a speech. Now, let me ask you, Ann, do you think he changed any minds?
Change my mind?
No, did he change any minds? People who were neutral, how do you think they viewed the speech?
Well, I think they would be a fool not to change. I really do. Everything was there, John. I mean, this guy actually took a panacea, and you know he could turn it into a reality. I mean, you know, maybe I'm overdoing, but that's the way I felt. I mean, I felt every emotion. I was chilled. I was here. I was surprised he could hold his own. I believe, John, even if 20% of what he intends to do comes through, it would be 100% regarding the equation of Hillary. I really believe that. I believe you're going to see a landslide. I think you've got a one-of-a-kind person. He believes in what he's doing, and the family, you know, the two sons, Ivanka.
And the daughter. Ivanka gave a great speech tonight.
And what about the boys?
The boys gave the boys did a wonderful job. Both Eric and Donald gave wonderful speeches that obviously had a huge impact. And you can see in this family, a family that works together and functions together, and that's going to be a big plus for Donald Trump in this campaign. No question about it.
I was unbelievably surprised. I really think I thought he was going to mess up. I said, oh, my God. You know, but I'm telling you, I really mean it.
And one last question, because I've got to move on. You were inclined to vote for Trump before the speech. Am I correct?
Well, I had a couple of talks with you, which you didn't agree with me, you and Pat Thurston. It was all about saying Bernardino, John, the most important thing to me is the war against ISIS.
And I want to be clear so our listeners understand where you're coming from. You had a predilection to like Donald Trump before the speech, and that's important because it reinforced what it was that you perceived and you've expressed before. But it's important for our listeners to understand when someone offers an opinion, what their opinion was before the speech, because that's going to be critical. And thank you so much for calling. It's a great pleasure to hear your voice. I want to squeeze one more call in before the top of the hour, 800-810-810. Chase, calling from San Francisco. Chase, welcome to KGO.
How you doing, John? Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. Anyway, here, so I'm 24 years old, and I don't know a whole lot, but I know enough to know that he's a great businessman. But that's all he is, in my opinion. I think it was a great speech. I think whoever's writing those 3x5 cards deserves an award. But I wasn't fooled, and I'll tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing to his credit. I think although he had speechwriters, he wrote the speech. A lot of the lines that he used tonight are lines he has used before, which is normal for a presidential candidate. They weave in those kinds of things. Can I ask you a question, Chase? You're 24. How did you vote in the last election?
I voted for Obama.
So your proclivity would be to vote for a Democrat rather than a Republican anyway, right?
Absolutely. You know, and for me, it's just like it's scary to me to think about that people actually believe that this guy has our best interests. I mean, this is the same guy who had his reality TV show. It's like you can't fire Congress.
Yeah, that's the argument that he doesn't have experience in government. And if you noticed, following his comments about NATO, the response of Republicans in the United States Senate and in the House was one of absolute horror. And so Trump in the last 24 hours, despite this triumph, have had to sort of redirect, and he sent out Rudy Giuliani to try to explain that he really didn't mean what he meant. But it'll be interesting to see how he clarifies that, and he did talk about it in the process of his speech. And interestingly enough, because I have the text in front of me, he added that in. Chase, I appreciate your call and your candor, and we'll see what people think, all right?
Absolutely, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chase. All right, 800-810-810 is the number. Now, I'm staying another hour. Management has said, yes, John, got such a response. Let's keep it going. But it's your show. It's your response. And what I want to know, and I asked three questions at the beginning, did Donald Trump change any minds? Not your mind, but any minds in the body of his speech. Number two, what did you as an individual think of the speech? By the way, I'm interested in whether you like the delivery. If you're against Trump, was his delivery good, bad, or indifferent? And three, if you are an independent or undecided, what did you think of the speech? Did Trump convince you? Did he sway you? Are you more open to Donald Trump than you were before this convention speech? Remember, this was Donald Trump's opportunity to convince the American people. We'll also be interested to see what kind of bump he gets out of this. I'm John Rothman. I'm in for Drex. I'm here for another hour.